Marvin Gaye. And happy birthday, Marvin Gaye. This is the day he was born. We're playing a lot of his music today. The great, late, great Marvin Gaye, who brought us so much for the time he was composing and singing before his tragic death. And he was an amazing person who went from all the great love songs of the early 60s to his very socially conscious music that he did. And we'll be honoring Marvin Gaye a great deal during our breaks here today on The Mark Steiner Show. We are now joined here by Iris Leigh Barnes. Iris Leigh Barnes is the coordinator of the Hayes House at Harford Community College. She is High House, excuse me. She's curator of the exhibit we're talking about today. She's a doctoral student here in history at Morgan State University. And Dr. Dorothy E. King is the playwright who wrote Susquehanna to Freedom that is being performed around this celebrations, and is assistant professor of sociology, behavioral sciences, and education at Penn State in Harrisburg. And Dr. Dorothy King and Iris Leigh Barnes, welcome. Good to have you both in the studio.
Thank you so much, Mark, for having me.
So, Dr. King, you with us too?
I'm here.
Great. Perfect. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Let's start about this exhibit, Faces of Freedom, the Upper Chesapeake, Maryland Beyond, and what it's celebrating. And you are the curator, so let me start with you, Iris.
Okay. Well, the exhibit, it commemorates the 150th anniversary of the ratification of the Maryland Constitution of 1864, which ended slavery in the state. So we're looking at individuals who fought for freedom, who played a role in that national struggle. And so we also look at individuals who are only from Harford County, Maryland, and their role in bigger stories, roles in stories such as the Christiana Resistance or the Prigg versus Pennsylvania case. And so we're excited that we're part of that national story.
I think that one of the things I like, what I've seen from what's happening with this exhibit and this whole series of things in Faces of Freedom is that in so much of the history, it's changing now, but in so much of our history, as we look at our history, our American history, African Americans are never given their own agency in terms of whether it's the abolition movement, fighting for freedom, the role that freedmen played, the role that people, the runaways played, the roles that all kinds of rebellions took place. And we don't ever get that. That's always a kind of the other story. It's never kind of the mainstream of the story, but it really is the mainstream of the story.
It is. We look at all sides. We look at the role of white abolitionists as well as black abolitionists. We look at blacks who took everything into their own hands. They decided, for example, in the Christiana Resistance, they weren't running anymore. They were going to stand their ground, and they were going to fight for their freedom. It was worth it to them.
People don't realize that one of the things we won't spend a lot of time on that because but it's also one of my obsessions, the Christiana Rebellion, because people don't understand that right just north of us here was an event that took place September 11th, 1851, that shook the nation. Really shook the nation. It started here in Baltimore County, where you saw these streets named Gorsuch in Baltimore and Maryland. They're named after the slave owner who went to get his slaves back from Pennsylvania in Christiana, where he was killed in that battle. And we had this huge conspiracy trial that grabbed the nation because it was the first black and white men on trial for the conspiracy and the Fugitive Slave Law of 1851.
Yes, absolutely. They were charged with treason. How dare they go up against the Fugitive Slave Act of 1850? And so we look at Harford County is right on the edge of Pennsylvania.
Right.
So you have issues of runaway slaves that are happening all the time, documented in William Still's book, The Underground Railroad. So we're excited about being documented in that history where people can look and see what it was really like to be a slave in Harford County, and that people actually took things into their own hand and said, I can't take this anymore. And it looked like it was feasible. They knew with the Susquehanna River, its role, and Dr. King will talk about that in the play, and so we're excited about having that play come here. And what excited us the most about the play was that it features documented Harford County runaways, and so we just had to have it.
And let's talk about this play, Dr. King.
Okay.
Yeah, and what you created here. This is a fictional account of real events.
Okay.
Is that right?
Yes, I think that's accurate. Yes. Yes.
Well, describe to us about the play. Most people have not seen it.
Okay, what we did in creating the play was we went to 10 counties that border the Susquehanna River, from Cooperstown, New York, to Havre de Grace, Maryland. And we talked with librarians and historians and museum people, and we said, give us your unique Underground Railroad story. And so we collaborated with them to create the theater piece. So this, the piece itself is fictional in that we are putting people in kind of a floating window of time, but the people themselves actually existed. Now, by that I mean, as we were telling the play, we might have some of the dates out of sequence, but all of the events that we're telling happened, except the story of the three runaways from Harford County. We do know that they existed. We do have the runaway slave ad, so we do know their names. We do not know what happened to them. So we've created a story about what could have happened to them.
Huh.
That's fictional, but the rest of the play is factual.
So Harriet Denby, Hull Rice, and George Stewart, who were the characters in your play, you followed journey up the Susquehanna, running from Harford County to Cooperstown. So they were real people.
They're documented. They're documented. They're documented crossing the Susquehanna. That's in the slave ad.
So give us a sense of some of the drama that you put in there of what people that they are representing might have confronted on this journey up.
Well, there was always the farther south you were, the more difficult it was to get north. And you really were not going to have any major help until you got north. The Underground Railroad didn't really exist in the south, so you really had to get north on your own. What you would have encountered would have been slave catchers. You would have, even if you were a free Negro, you would have been afraid of slave catchers because someone could claim you as their slave. That's part of the Fugitive Slave Law of 1850. Someone could claim you even if you were free, and you really couldn't prove that you were not. You couldn't speak in a court of law, so you really wanted to be as far away from slave catchers as you could. You also were, of course, would be encountering the elements. So as you're traveling, you have to think about, where am I going to sleep? What am I going to eat? Of course, there were no fast food places. How am I going to protect myself? And you were traveling primarily at night. You wanted to travel not when there was a full moon because you could be seen. So you wanted to travel under the worst possible conditions to travel. So you would have encountered all kinds of difficulties as you moved north.
So I want to come back to this. I have a question about the play, but the other pieces of this series of events, there's so many interesting people that we don't know about. The people that you can tell us a bit about. And I think that there's this whole court case, kind of Prigg v. Pennsylvania, and one of the women that you talk about in this thing is Margaret Morgan, right?
Yes, Margaret Morgan. She was a Harford County resident, got married. She grew up free. Her account is, I grew up free and on the Ashmore Estate. And then she got married and moved to Pennsylvania. Well, after the head of household passed away, the wife decided to have her brought back to Maryland. So essentially, from the outlook of Pennsylvania and her outlook, she's being kidnapped back to Maryland. So there's a confrontation between Pennsylvania and Maryland legislators. It becomes a whole Supreme Court case. And most tragic of all, though, is we really don't know the outcome of Margaret and her children, who were all brought back. And, you know, the assumption is that she was sold south into slavery.
Because this we're talking about a free woman who lived on a Harford County farm plantation, moved to Pennsylvania, and this Prigg versus Pennsylvania, v. Pennsylvania, was a law that went against the freedom and rights of black people in America.
Mm-hmm.
How unusual at that point. and that she was then, as a free woman, enslaved, and we don't know what happened beyond that.
Exactly. We really don't know. Now, there was a book called All Different Kinds of Free, which is a novel very similar to the play, which uses various stories that would have been true to construct her life. And so there's another book called Prigg versus Pennsylvania, which looks at the legal side. And so we did a book discussion about the two. You know, one looks at what happened on the legal side from that perspective. And then the other book all different kinds of free, looks at what could have happened, what may have happened to Margaret if she was sold south. So that kind of looks at some factual information and puts it into her story.
We don't think about Harford County at all. That's why this is so interesting to me. It's not something that many people in the metropolitan region think about when it comes to our own history and to black history and to the human history. That period, that's why this is such an interesting. You've unearthed things that have kind of been hidden from us in some ways.
Absolutely. This has been fun in that regard, and that we're taking Harford County out of the realm of just being the quiet little rural county. We're giving people opportunity to look at it from a different perspective and see, because of where it was located. It was strategically located for people who wanted to run away. It was right near safe houses, a lot of Underground Railroad activity in terms of Quaker involvement. And right over the border, you had Lancaster County, which had a black community of Columbia, as well as an enclave in Christiana, where blacks helped each other out. And so there was a lot of help. And then we're documented. And other places in Maryland are documented as well, but we were excited to find ourselves documented in William Still's book, The Underground Railroad, most especially Sam Archer, who was a runaway from the Hayes High House. And so to see the Hayes High House in this historic book was just a phenomenal experience for us.
Which is where the exhibit's taking place, right?
That's where the exhibit is. And so this is a historic house on the site of Harford Community College. And when you come in, you'll see, we have six galleries and we cover all these different stories. We look at Quaker involvement. A lot of people are familiar with Elisha Tyson, and they know him mostly from Baltimore, but he also lived in Harford County for some time and used his property as an Underground Railroad station. So we're really bringing out some stories. John Wilkes Booth, who lived in Harford County, just up the road from Harford Community College. And his particular story is interesting because you can look at a divided family. While most of us are familiar with the fact that he assassinated President Lincoln and he was a Southern sympathizer, but we're less familiar with the fact that his father helped to free slaves. He helped some slaves that worked for him. He rented some slaves from a nearby farm. He rented their labor, and then he helped them to gain their freedom. And so you're looking at a family that had different views. Here you have a pro-slavery and anti-slavery all in the same family, an iconic family. And so it's very interesting. So we're bringing this all to light.
And it also fed into the Christiana Rebellion, because he went to school at a private school with the son of Gorsuch. And the Christiana Rebellion is one of the things that turned John Wilkes Booth into such a fanatic pro-slave, as a slavery advocate, was in that moment in his high school here.
Yes, that's what the records show.
Dr. King, could you tell us, give us some of a flavor of the play and some of the stories that you bring out?
Well, I don't really want to give you the stories because I want you to come and see the play.
But I mean, if you give us some of the stories, then people might want to come see the play.
I will tell you. I will tell you that we have created 10 county stories, and that we have a storyteller who is kind of looking back on his life and his relations with people who worked for the Underground Railroad. So he's kind of reflecting on that, and as he is telling his stories, then we see the stories unfolding.
Can we get a sense of some of those stories? I mean, I want people to get a sense of what they're going to come see.
Okay. The story that we hear the story of the slaves. We've given them some background because we don't really know what happened to them. So we've given them stories. As they move up the Susquehanna, then they pass by York, Pennsylvania, and York County. And then we hear the story of a woman named Amanda Berry, who was the daughter of two very staunch abolitionists. So as she is relating her family's history, she's an older woman at this point, but she's looking back on her childhood and how her father was able to foil some slave catchers, and how her mother was very outspoken and was actually able to embarrass some slave catchers.
So that's got some good tension to it. I like that.
Yes,
that's the kind of things people want to see. That's good.
Yeah. It's interesting. We had the intention of telling stories that weren't generally told. For example, in New York, the story that's generally told is the story of William Goodrich, who was probably the richest African-American of his day. He had a store in downtown New York that was, I guess, considered the first African-American mall, if you will. It was like but it was a five-story building, and he had a confectionery store on the first floor, and he had a barbershop, and his sons were photographers, so they had a kind of rooftop-ish studio. So that's the story that's always told about York. So we found a different story. So our goal was to tell something that people would not generally have known.
So tell me this coming up next, what are people going to see and when? Can you tell us a bit about that?
The play is going to be this Friday, and we're going to have two performances. So Friday, April 4th, 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock. You do need tickets, but it's absolutely free. You can get the tickets online. Just go to hartford.edu. You can just print it out and come on down. Or if you want to call a number and register, you can call 443-412-2539.
We'll have that online.
Yes. And then you can easily get a ticket that way and have a will call. But
so is this the only night that the play will be?
This is the only night. But like I said, it's two performances, two opportunities to come see this.
Friday at 1?
And 7. Okay. It's going to be fascinating.
And can I just add that we performed the play last January, not January 2014, but January 2013, at Penn State Harrisburg as part of our Martin Luther King Day series. So every year for the past 16 years, we've created a brand new theatrical production for the MLK celebration here on campus. So this was year 15. So our plan was that once that performance was done, that we would literally take the show on the road to all of the counties that gave us their stories. So this is the first stop on our road tour. So we are going to
the Maryland premiere.
Well,
all right, that sounds great.
Maryland premiere.
You can go when you go to hartford.edu. There's a little there's a space there where you can. It's a really simple website to use. I just got to go to the exhibitions on the menu, click that on, and then type in Faces of Freedom. It pops right up, and all the information is right there.
Absolutely. Very easy.
It is really easy. At first look, I went, what is this? But then it got really easy to get it. That was really good. So this is great. And I want to thank both of you for being here. I want to hear more about this exhibit as we talk about it over the coming months.
I hope I see you there.
We will save you a front row seat. So
all right.
Please let us know which performance you will be attending.
It sounds like a fascinating play and exhibit and a piece of our history that we should not miss. So Dr. Dorothy E. King, who wrote the play Susquehanna to Freedom and is professor of sociology at behavioral sciences and education at Penn State Harrisburg, is joining us, and soon to be Dr. Iris Leigh Barnes, who's getting her PhD here at Morgan State University in history, is the coordinator of Hayes High House at Harvard Community College and the curator of the exhibit Focus on Freedom that we've been talking about. And just go to hartford.edu, and it's all right there, not to be missed. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so much,
Thank you.
Mark.
All right.
Great to have you both on the show. We're going to have a very brief break and going out with Bo Diddley singing Bo Diddley, 1955. This became his number one hit, sent him on the charts.